All right, welcome to the Erie Music History Podcast. I am Chip Shell, your host, and today my guest has played in a lot of bands. I'm going to name some of them. The Monarchs, Aura, Pluto, Tight Ends, The Breeze, Night Shift, The Return, Heartless, Time Machine, Lone Rider Band, and today he's the drummer for Twisted Lid. Now, I usually don't do this, but I'm going to say some of the places that you played because I like when people are listening to this and they say, oh, I remember that place, the Junction,
yes,
the Winery, the iClub, Ye Old Barn, the Garage, I've heard about that, the Alternative, of course, Hedge Hollow, the Cow Shed, where the cows were named after, Doc's Tavern, Biagio's, JC's Tavern, and of course, the famous Moon Meadows Rock and Roll Festival of 1978.
That was a good one.
Rick Krasinski, welcome to the podcast.
Again, thank you very much for having me. This is quite an honor. I appreciate this very, very much.
Well, we met a few years ago and through the music night, I think, right? And
right.
We got to play together. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a couple of bands.
Yeah, and I love Twisted Lid. You guys are fantastic. Anybody listening to this, go out and seek Twisted Lid. But today we're going to cover a lot of the area that you leading up to being in Twisted Lid. We're just talking about the fact that you worked at GE for 40 plus years.
40 years.
40 years exactly.
Yep.
Erie guy, obviously.
Yes.
High school, where?
Cathedral Prep, 72.
72, okay. Yep. A lot of guys on this podcast graduated 71, 72. A lot of musicians.
Yes, we yeah. Musical era of the Beatles.
Yeah, right. Who are some of your other classmates that are musicians that I would know today?
I'm trying to think. I don't know of any that are still playing.
No? Okay.
No, there was, no. Well, you stumped me there because yeah. I can't think of anybody that's...
I'm a McDowell guy and I know there's a lot of McDowell.
He was there last night. Donnie Dombrowski.
Oh, okay.
He was there last night. He plays dobro and steel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I got a chance to talk to him.
Right.
I haven't seen him since we graduated.
Yeah, I was talking to Tom Stone, who is a drummer for the band with Scott Campbell and Paula Holmes, the somewhat religious band, Clockwise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he was 71, I think, from McDowell. And we were talking about all the guys, you know, Steve McConnell and Vesheko and Bob Raphael. They all were 71, 72 McDowell guys.
So. Yeah, those are two guys that I know very well, Steve McConnell. Replaced me in one band, and Bob Raphael, he and I played with Ron Thomas. We did two New Year's Eves at the Ramada Inn. That had to be, the 80s, and Bob says, don't mention it because I'm not allowed to do this.
Why not?
He was part of the LCB agency.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah. he was not allowed to play. That's where I first met Bob Raphael. And then after that, we were in, three bands together.
Okay. Ron Thomas, if people don't know, if you're not an Erie guy, he owned R&R Music
right.
for years. And like, I only know Ron from R&R,
right.
but I've met people like you that say, I played with Ron back in the day, guitar player.
Right. And yeah. in the 70s, we had a three-piece band. I can't think of the guitarist's name. He was in a band called The Puzzle. Hmm. And we were called Puzzle 2. In fact, I was coming to school here nights and we were rehearsing. And I did a presentation at one of my public speaking about the band. And I mentioned Ron being the guitarist or the bass player, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a phenomenal bass player.
Wow.
And a singer.
Really?
I
never knew any of that about him. That's funny.
He picked up guitar afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Kenny Lund was the guitarist. He was phenomenal.
Did Ron have R&R back then or no?
Yes.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yes, because we actually rehearsed there.
Oh, really?
In the back room.
In the back room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiny little place right on 26th and Chestnut, or where is it?
Cherry, I think.
Cherry.
No, Chestnut. No, you might be right. Chestnut.
I can't remember.
Chestnut or Cherry.
Yeah. Empty right now.
He started out with the other R was Rick McGee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I don't have any facts on that, but that's what I heard.
Well, it's on a podcast now, so now it's a fact.
I don't.
You've got one of those eerie names, man. I mean, and there's a lot of musicians that have that name, you know. So that's got to be the first thing people ask you. Are you related to Dave, Tony? How does it all work?
We are cousins on my father's side. And I actually met Bill in, 1979, 67. I think he was graduating from St. John's, and I met him in the hallway, and I said, hey, I'm putting a group together. Can you come down? I said, we have the same first or last name. And he came down and taught my high school, grade school buddies, The Letter by the Box Tops.
And did you know you were related?
We've just happened to, you know, I asked him what his name was, and he said, Krasinski. I said, so is mine. And then we ended up being in a band together for probably 4 or 5 years.
And Bill is a brother.
The oldest brother.
Of Tony and Dave.
Dave and then Kathy from Norbs.
Oh, okay. And yeah, they own Norbs. Right. Right. So was Norb your uncle then? Or?
Ask my father that. He says, yes, we're related, but he says it's distant. And,
okay. All right.
But I think it all comes down to a St. Stan's and that area.
Yeah.
But I'm not. You know, I've never asked. We've always been cousins. We've always been close. We grew up together. Like I said, from '68 to the present, I still call Bill on occasion to see how he's doing.
And you played with Bill in a few bands. Then you played with Dave and Joe Rockhead for a while, right?
Was he
still in it?
Yes.
And Tony wasn't in it.
I was responsible for getting Dave and Joe Rockhead.
Okay.
We needed another guitarist, and Tim Roach says, "Well, I'm going to fire him. He's never showing up." I said, "He's a firefighter. Just be patient." He said, "You better be worth it." Well, Dave, with his phenomenal voice, plus and our harmonies, that was our signature for Joe, the early Joe Rockhead.
And Tony was not in the band at the time?
No. Okay. Tony came in after the third edition of the band.
Okay, all right. Towards
the end.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know.
That's all right. We're going to jump all around. That's okay.
We can go back to 1966.
Tell me, what happened in 1966?
Well, another guy, Denny Neimans, was a St. John's guy, and he played guitar, and his buddy Barney Shuba played guitar. And we got together at my house, and my mother and I came up with the name The Monarchs and put it on my kick drum. I sent you that picture.
So that's Denny Neimans in
that's
that
Denny
picture?
Neimans on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where is that picture taken? In your basement?
Yes, my parents' basement. Yes.
So Denny, if you don't know, plays with his wife in the Goats today.
But, and the solo acts, yeah.
Right, right. So that was the first one?
Yeah, that was our very first band, right? We never played out. And okay. We were playing like, you know, beach music, you know, like the instrumentals. We didn't do much singing, I don't think, back then. Okay. I can't remember the singing back then.
Yeah, as a drummer, a singing drummer, there aren't a lot of you, you know, and I don't know. I mean, it seems like, was that an advantage for you joining all these different bands over the years? Like, hey, I don't. And did you sing in all the bands?
I've sung in every single band except that one.
That's what I thought. Okay.
The next band was in grade school, 1970. We were called Mercy Hospital. It was the same guys that played The Letter.
Okay.
And it was Doug Konzel on keyboards, Rick Konechny on lead guitar, and a friend of mine who's passed away, worked for Raven for a while, a sound man, Chris Kazmarek. He was our bass player. And we played a semi-formal freshman stag at Harbor Creek High School.
Okay.
That was my first paid professional gig. I think we got $40 for four guys.
Tell me the band's name. Holy crap. What was
it? It was called Mercy Hospital.
Mercy Hospital.
Yeah, we're called...
Where did that come from?
They needed a name for the advertisement. I said, Mercy Hospital sounds good. I just came up with that. I've named almost every single band I've been in.
Yeah? The Monarchs?
Yes, but we never played out. But
yeah.
It was on my kick drum.
I loved it on the kick drum.
My mother cut all that out of that, you know, that red
felt or whatever it was.
It was a cardboard that had red sheen on the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back in the, you know, 60s.
That was a thing to do, you know, have the name of the band on the bass drum and everything. So,
And then in the 70s, when I got my second set, I took the head off, so I've never had a head on. I've been a pillow guy since
you have?
1973.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you only a drummer? Did you ever want to play any other instruments or...
Once I retired, I did. I bought myself three really nice guitars, and they're still sitting in the cases.
Ah.
My left hand doesn't want to cooperate, and I don't have the patience to make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
But all those other years,
no,
just drums.
Keyboards. I wrote songs. My parents had a piano, and I've written songs on that piano.
Oh, okay.
It was in our breezeway. And then I bought myself a Wurlitzer, and I sold the darn thing. It was a 1956 Wurlitzer with the 6x9 and the... speckled paint.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a lot of people had those.
I didn't realize that was a collector's item.
Yeah.
I sold it.
How about teachers? Were you a Flip Bilotti student? Or
I was in the, in 64, I got my first snare drum. But before that, I played on one of those rubber pads that was tilted.
Yeah.
And I was in the junior art orchestra at St. John the Baptist, and Markham's was the teacher, and they had the regular orchestra, and then just us little kids, and my first snare drum was a desk.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to play on a desk.
At Markham's?
No, at St. John's on the stage in the auditorium.
But you took lessons at Markham's?
No, they taught us there.
Oh, they taught you right there.
Then I went to Osiki's. I had one lesson at Osiki's because I figured, well, you know, I should learn this.
Yeah.
And the guy was smoking cigarettes and doodling on all my notes, so I said no.
I'm
not going to waste my parents' money. And I listened to the Beatles and everybody else.
Right, just lifting the
Sandy
record.
Sandy Nelson was another. That's very popular beach kind of music instrumental, and I listened to all those and taught myself. I got my first drum kit in 1966 out of an Alden's catalog. That's the one that you see.
Oh, okay.
And that snare drum in that picture is a Sparkle, and that was my first snare drum in 64.
Any of that equipment worth a lot of money these
no,
days?
No, that was all it was made in Japan, MIJ, but it was very very good. In fact, the it was a Del Rey, which is made by Tiesco, and their guitars are collectible now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
I never know about that equipment. You know, people always say, oh, it just still had that guitar, but those drums were... Mail order drums aren't usually the best.
Yeah, I think my parents paid $300 and it came with cymbals and everything.
The whole deal.
Yeah.
All right.
That was my first drum kit.
So did you what was your first gig?
That was it.
That was it?
Mercy 1970.
And was it a one-time deal?
One-time deal.
The hospital didn't play again?
No, the band broke up. They went into other bigger and better things. In fact, Danny Nemus played with the keyboard player at a bunch of bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug Consell.
Okay.
And he quit playing. I think he's retired from the hospital as a serviceman, service tech.
Okay. All right. And go ahead.
Yeah. After that, I didn't play. Carl Nowoshinski and I got together in 1972 in my parents' basement, and we tried to put a band together. He came down with this huge dual Showman amplifier and everything.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't get it off the ground. But the reason why I'm mentioning him in 72 is because he and I, since then, have played in many bands
That's
together
what I thought.
And wrote a lot of songs together.
Is he an East Side guy, too?
I mean,
how did you know? That's what I thought, right.
Yes, I think he went to Tech.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I saw that on some of my lists of all the people, you know, that you've played with in the different bands. And there has been that. I played with this guy for a bunch of years, and, you know, you kind of interchange them throughout the years, it seems like. The coolest picture I've seen of you, with a little hair, in Aura. But that's not till 77.
Right.
So you graduate in 72. What do you do for those 5 years?
75 or 73, my cousin and a bunch of his buddies had a house in that he stayed at in Waterford. And we decided, oh, we're going to put a band together. So I piled my cousin and my wife to be
in
73. And my little, I think I had a duster. And we went out to DeFiore's in Cleveland, and I came home with a Slingerland drum set.
Oh, okay.
And I still have that. That's my practice kit.
Really? Wow.
And then I bought another one just like that in the 90s at World of Music, which is probably older, because he bought out an old music store.
Oh, yeah.
And they still had the tags on them. And I've been trying to date them on our website. I belong to the Slingerland Drummers.
Wow.
And they're telling me it could be as early as 69 or 70s because they... The mutes are different. They still have the mutes on them.
So before that, were you still just playing the mail orders?
No, I quit completely.
Oh, you did for a few years.
And then in 72, I became a lead singer. I forgot about that band. I didn't put it in my notes.
So you graduate high school in 72.
And in 72?
By 73, you're already with your wife.
In 70, I met my wife.
Okay, all right. So you've been with her for a few years.
Yes.
And then what is this... moment where you say, I'm taking this drum thing serious. I'm going to Cleveland to get some real drums. What was that band?
I missed it. We didn't have a name. We never played out. It was just a jam band.
A Waterford jam band.
Right. And it was, I can't remember his name. It was a GE guy who played guitar. And Mark's brother was in it, Jerry Gorzicki.
Oh.
And we just jammed. And I started polishing my chops by learning songs that, we were picking, and they were pretty difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just, started. I'm the kind of drummer, though, I don't practice. I am not a practice drummer.
Okay.
I have this idiot savant ability to listen to a song, figure out the vocal part, sing my part, and know what all my drum parts are without touching a drum set.
You're lucky.
And I don't know how that happened.
Yeah,
if it was because I listened to so many Beatles albums and everybody, you know, being able to pick up the drum tracks.
Right, right.
But, you know, and I've played some very complex music, but then I only have a 4-4 ability. Anything that's not 4-4, I'm not very good at.
Okay, all right. You're not a jazz guy.
No.
Yeah, gotcha. I mean, back, we're talking the early 70s. I mean, was there any prog rock that you were doing back then that had to be difficult, I would imagine? I mean, were you doing Yes? Were you doing Genesis?
No, not then. That was all later sensitive.
Joe Rockhead and stuff.
The simple stuff.
Yeah.
I became a lead singer. I forgot to put that in. We were called Tacitus. It was for a benefit at the Rock Garden for the band Philip, their drummer.
Sure.
Needed bail money. So Steve Witkowski was the bass player, and he was related to those guys. He worked at Raven for many years. My cousin Mark Krasinski, a keyboard player that we didn't know he was that good, but he was an organist, church organist, David Wallach, and Eddie Gar from the funeral home, Gar Funeral Home.
Right.
We practiced at his place. We put a one-hour show together to play that benefit, and that's when I became a lead singer for the first time.
What was the Rock Garden?
Rock Garden is the old Hullabaloo.
Oh, okay.
After the Hullabaloo became the Rock Garden.
Okay, all right.
And then the Purple Pickle, I think,
right,
or something like that, and then the Alternative.
So where McClelland is now and everything.
Yeah.
And so how was it being a lead singer?
I mean, we did nothing but like Gypsy by, that British group. I can't think of the name.
I know that song, too, and I can't. That's all right.
Stealing. Why can't I think of the name of the band? Uriah Heep.
Uriah Heep, yes.
And we did Come Away, Melinda. And I can remember being in my parents' basement with this little stereo I had down there and singing, and my mother coming down crying. She says, "Oh, my God, you are so perfect on that." And that's when I decided I better become more of a singer than a drummer.
Yeah. Did that last?
I became the lead singer in when we lost our lead singer in Aura. I became more of a singer in that band, and Pluto, I was a lead singer. Tight Ends, I was a lead singer.
Were you playing drums, too?
No. Or,
oh, I didn't realize
just up front, Joe Rockhead.
I didn't realize
that. No drums, no.
All right. So what happens then? You're a lead singer. You have now some good drums.
Yep.
What's the first band you're drumming and singing in?
My wife was helping out in the kitchen at... what's the name of that club? It escapes me now. Fulton Club.
Okay.
And there was a band there called Peppermint Carousel, and they weren't happy with their drummer. And my wife says, "Well, my husband's a drummer." So I went down and I auditioned, and of course I sang, and they says, "Oh my goodness, here we go. We got four lead singers now."
Perfect, yeah.
And I joined the band, and the guy that got removed thanked me still. It's Gypsy from... Rick and the Roadhouse Rockers.
Oh, yeah.
I replaced him. They got rid of him and hired me.
Okay.
So he went on to bigger and better things, and I became a lounge drummer.
Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah, we did disco. So I sang all the disco songs, Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Really?
Playing drums.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, Bob, I can't think of Bob's last name. Bob was a guitarist. Jimmy Habis was on keyboards. And Tom Spangler, who I ended up playing in Tight Ends and Pluto with.
What was this band that we're talking about?
Peppermint Carousel and Habis.
Well, they still called it Peppermint Carousel.
Yeah, and then I made him change the name. I said, "I don't like that name." And he said, "What are we going to pick?" I said, "Well, Habis is actually, his name is H-A-B-I-S, and that was actually something to do with Roman anthology." I said, "Why don't we just take his last name since he's been in the band the longest and he's the oldest guy in the band?" So he became Habis.
Habis.
And I picked that name.
Jeez.
Yeah.
In and out of these bands, off and on, they didn't last long.
No, that one lasted about 2.5 years, and then I got hired in Aura.
And Aura had been around.
Yes, right? And the guys from the Snowmen said, "Oh, Rick, he says he's a lounge drummer. He's not going to be a rock and roll drummer." And I fooled them all because the originals, the parts I wrote in the originals, they ended up giving the tape to future drummers to learn the originals the way I played them.
So you're talking about Frank Mayer.
Yes.
Jimmy
Hewlings.
Jimmy Hullings. Hullings?
Hewlings, yeah.
Hewlings, Dave Milner.
And Turker.
Errol Turker. Errol Turk. Yeah. Right, Turk. Yeah. And so how was that being in that band? I mean,
I grew immensely in that band as a drummer.
Okay.
It taxed me a lot. The originals were on 78, and I had to learn how to play fast.
How many originals did they do?
Probably four or five. I've got copies okay. of them. A friend of mine just digitized them for me off of cassettes.
I love I've never heard a tagline like rock and roll with the sweat left in. I mean, come on.
The songs, Jimmy was a songwriter, and Jimmy Heerlings, and he was phenomenal guitar riffs. In fact, Frank Mayer came into town a couple weeks ago, and we went to go see Jim Buman's band.
Yeah.
After his podcast.
Yeah.
And, we were just talking about it. He says, oh my gosh. He said, I didn't recognize that song. I don't remember us playing that. And it was amazing music that he would write.
Yeah, and you guys played bigger places.
The Caboose, and Moon Meadows, Ellery Center. There was a big concert we did.
Right. Talk about that Moon Meadows gig. So that's you guys, Guardian, Jim Buman.
Right.
Just in Time, that's Antoine, his band.
Right.
Vertical Union.
That's, I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
He's in Florida. Larry Zern was the bass player.
Main Squeeze with Benny Mardonis as the headliner.
And that was it, Into the Night? Was that its big?
I think that was it.
Yeah, he was performing that night.
Right, right. Yeah. Any memories of that concert?
I mean, I've never seen that many people before, 1,700 people.
Oh, really?
It was a lot of people.
Moon Meadows out on off
Station Road?
Road, way out there.
Yeah, it's all defunct now.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And they did this more than 1 year.
Yeah, that was the only year I played.
Okay, all right. Big stage and
all homemade out of lumber.
Is it? Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah.
Ellery Center was the same way. It was all homemade out of lumber.
Where was Ellery Center?
It's in New York.
I know it's in New York.
Yeah, I don't remember. That was, like I said, that was 77, 78. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And what, aside from the originals, what type of music did Aura play?
Blue Oyster, Aerosmith, Thin Lizzy.
Okay.
AC/DC, Frank sounded just like the original Bon Scott.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of songs off the first High Voltage album.
That was early. Yeah.
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 Long Way to the Top wasn't out yet.
Okay.
But because we needed keyboards. But I became a better drummer then. And McConnell had a band, and they practiced at our rehearsal studio in the middle of nowhere in Harbor Creek.
And that band sticks around, but then you leave. In 80 or something like that, right?
79 I left.
Okay, all right. Why?
They rehired the lead singer, and I'd already taken over most of his parts.
Okay.
And even though he had better stage presence, I just felt that I should be singing. It was nothing personal.
This is Kevin?
No, Kevin. It was, you mentioned
Jim
earlier.
Jim Baldoff? Jim?
Why can't I think of his name? Miller. Dave Milner.
Dave Milner, sorry.
Yeah, he came back into the band, and I just felt like I was, kicked aside at the time. Like, I don't think it was an ego problem.
Okay.
I don't know. I just felt like I should be singing. So the bass player from Peppermint Carousel and Habas says, hey, we're looking for a singer, and your cousin Mark's already in the band, Mark Krasinski. And they had, I can't think of his name. Anyway, they said, we need a singer. So I auditioned. It was Pluto and Tight Ends.
Oh, that was Pluto.
Yeah.
Okay. So you didn't mention your cousin Mark earlier. So you got the Krasinskis that are eventually Tony and Dave or brothers. Mark plays what?
Mark is a lead guitarist and a lead singer.
Okay.
And he was in Pluto and Tight Ends. And he was in Just in Time for a little bit.
Who am I missing in the Krasinski family that's a musician?
There was one that passed away that helped Carl and I on an original that he wrote. It's Kevin Kay. He changed his name to Kay. He lived in Florida.
Okay.
But he was a keyboard player. And I think that's all the Krasinskis that I know of.
That's a lot of musical ability in a family.
Yes.
That's a lot. More than I know of in anywhere else. Let's see. So Pluto, we're talking in 79, 80, you said. Mark Emhoff's in the band right away.
Yes.
Great guitar player.
He was 19 years old.
Rest in peace. Yes. Great guy.
We played in two other bands together.
Yeah. And he was in, in the Generic Beat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he was.
Did a lot of recordings with them. Yeah.
Andy Gerbick?
Andy Gerbick was in Pluto, yes.
John McElhaney?
Yes.
Your cousin Mark? Tom Spangler?
Yes.
All right. So all those guys at once with you, six guys?
Yes. And I replaced Cup of Joe. He was the lead singer.
Harry's brother.
Yeah.
Joe Parker.
Joe Parker.
Yeah. Oh, he was. Oh,
yeah, okay. He was the lead singer that I replaced
so
in the band.
The band was already in existence.
Established, okay. Yes.
So this is a trend I'm seeing. You're joining established bands.
I was asked to join.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So does Pluto end and then Tight Ends takes over? Or
Mark Emhoff quit to go probably in the Beat.
Okay.
And we picked up a guy from the Peens, Kevin Bort.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then it's you and your cousin, John McElhaney and Tom Spangler.
Yeah, and Andy Gerbic.
And Andy Gerbic.
Yeah,
okay.
On keys, yeah.
What later for tight? First of all, Tight Ends sounds new wavy to me.
That was the drummer's idea, and okay. I didn't like that name either.
That's an idiot. Were you playing that type of music in 81?
No, we were still a concert rock.
Okay, all right.
You know,
all right.
AC/DC, because my cousin and Foreigner and Loverboy and that kind of stuff from the 80s
we were
doing.
Okay. I have a note here that says later Mike Borgia joined as a singer of
yes,
that band.
Yes, he took my place.
Is this the Mike Borgia, the magician?
No.
Or no?
No.
That's a different Borgia.
Yeah.
Same family?
I don't know.
And then Janet Vihek joined later?
Maybe it would have been after you there left. There was also Timmy Dietz's wife. Why can't I think of her name right now?
Mm.
Linda Dietz was also a singer, and Tim Dietz was the sound man by then. He was light man at first. Joel Kuligowski was our sound man. And Linda Dietz joined the band, and Tim ended up marrying Linda.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. She's got a great voice, and they do a lot of church stuff. She's
still
a great singer, yes.
So that band, Tight Ends, they stick around for a while, because in 85...
Yeah, because and when Andy quit, Tim Roach joined the band.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Tim Roach... Again, RIP, one of the best keyboardists in town, just a beast in Joe Rockhead.
Yeah.
The band changes its name, I saw, in 85 for months to Rex, R-E-X-X.
Oh, did they? See, you know, then, you could have good research.
And then they changed it back to Tight Ends in 86. So like I said, it was like 1 year, so someone said, we don't like Rex. But you were gone by then.
Yes.
They eventually, in 87, changed it again to Ground Zero. So... that band goes through some changes. Meanwhile, you've joined up with your buddy Carl again,
yes,
right?
Yes, and my cousin, we call ourselves cousins.
I was going to say Mark Rosicki. Real cousin or?
On my aunt's husband's side of the family.
Okay,
but we grew up together. We call ourselves cousins. We still do.
Okay.
I mean, we grew up together.
You did grow up together.
Yeah, Jerry and Paul Caceres were best of friends and... we all played football and baseball and all kinds of crazy things together. And
so you've got your two cousins, your buddy Carl. Who's Scott?
Scott Kuhn.
Scott Kuhn was in that band?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We've had him on the... And then Dave? Is there Dave?
No, just the four of us.
Oh,
Dave Calabrese.
Was Dave Calabrese?
Yeah. Dave Calabrese from Jabberwocky and Basically Alone. He was the bass player.
Yeah.
He did not fit well, but he learned his parts. He was more of a fusion, jazz, thumpy, picky bass player. And every once in a while, we hear burr, burr, on a rock song. And I didn't last long in that band. I think it lasted 2 years. And Scott and I, for a year, could not get a band together. We just auditioned all kinds of people. We went back to Carl.
Okay.
And then we found out that a bass player had come back, and he didn't know me personally, but I finally got a hold of him, and Bill Miller was available. So Scott, Bill Miller.
So Bill Miller of the Snowmen.
And Bruce Bennett.
Great guitar player.
Amazing guitar player. And Carl and me.
That's
five of us.
What?
We were called The Breeze.
Oh, so this was, because.
Oh, no, The Breeze was first.
Yeah, The Breeze was first.
And then The Night Shift.
Oh, The Night Shift. I didn't have
That's another band I picked the name for off of a Foghat album, Night Shift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All these bands still playing the same type of, you described it as concert rock?
No, we actually, Night Shift, we did a lot of Huey.
Okay.
And Van Halen and... because
we're talking 84, 5, somewhere around there,
83,
right?
83, yeah.
Okay.
83 to 85, yeah.
Okay.
83 to 84.
So still, you know,
yeah.
The reason I point that out is, in the 90s, you play in a country band, and that seemed like an anomaly to me for you. Nothing fancy, you know, but... other than that,
before Nothing Fancy was the Lone Rider Band.
Oh, the Lone Rider Band.
And that
came
was Carl.
That.
Yeah, that was Carl also.
Okay.
And Jeff Wiesen was the bass player.
Oh yeah.
And Bill Garfield was the fiddle keyboard player, and Carl. There was four of us.
Did or do you? How do you feel about playing country? Do you like
it? Was
country?
It was fun. It was very profitable back then.
That's what I wondered.
Country was, you know, we could do five nights a week.
Yep.
And we did a lot of five nights at the Western. And
yep.
We played, you know, a lot. And we were the house band for, what's the one on Old 99? Carl wrote a song about it.
99?
Valley Inn.
The Valley Inn. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
We were a house band
sits
there.
Way back.
Yeah. We were a house band there for months.
Huh. Yeah, I always heard the same thing, like Ron Rudler used to tell me, you know, back then, early 80s, country, you could play all the time,
yep.
You know, and it was 10 to 2,
yep.
You know, it was
And I was
real.
Still working at GE.
Right, exactly. That's what I was getting at. So these had to be late nights.
Get to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, get up at 6 and go right back to work.
Right, right. Yeah. And you had kids.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Great. Great.
Three of them back then.
I should really be interviewing the wives of all you guys.
I was going to give her a plug. you know, since 1970.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
congratulations.
We grew up together.
That's fantastic.
And next week is our 50th.
Congrats.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, to be married to a musician, it's got to be tough. You know, a lot of nights with the kids alone while I'm rehearsing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, Harry Parker was the same way, you know, when I had him in here a few weeks ago. He and Donna have been together since the beginning, too.
Right.
And now they at least play together,
right.
You know, play music together. You know, that's kind of cool. So we're in the 80s.
Night Shift. What was that one band that was very popular?
Heartless, Time Machine.
No, I'm talking about the Top 40 band.
In town?
Survivor.
Oh, Survivor.
We did Survivor.
Okay.
A lot of album cuts off of Survivor.
Sure.
Eddie Money. Bill Miller was an excellent singer. Carl sang, I sang, and Scott Kuhn sang. We did
yeah.
Eddie Money.
We were,
it was one of the better bands I was ever in.
All right.
Musicianship-wise. It taxed me even more. There were some parts I could not play. And Bill Miller has been noted for always being hard on drummers. And he never busted mine because I sang and did a lot of the harmonies.
Yeah.
I was not a McConnell, but McConnell always bowed to me. He would say, Rick, I may be a better drummer, but boy, you can sing and play.
Yeah, right.
And that was a kudos from him because
yeah.
He's an amazing drummer.
He is, yeah. So that was, what band was this?
That was Night Shift.
This was Night Shift.
Yep.
And you stick around for a while.
For 1 year, and then Carl and I formed another band.
Okay.
Carl and I quit. I don't remember why we quit. And I think that's when they became Rhythm Method.
Ah, okay. So,
and then Mark Emhoff and Carl and I put a three-piece band together that probably would still be playing today because we were so popular. We were called The Return.
Oh.
And we did U2 and everything that was popular from 84 to 86.
Mark Emhoff.
And Carl Nowoszynski.
Carl. Just the three of you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And we were like a house band at Sherlock's. We'd play there once or twice a week.
I was going to say, you know.
And three-piece, and that was, you know, $100 a night was a lot of money back then for three guys.
I threw out a bunch of those old bar names. I always ask people, what do you miss the most? Where do you miss the most?
The Junction was a fun place to play.
New York, right?
No, the Junction was on 38th and Pine Avenue. It
okay.
was.
Where the.
Arby's is.
Where Arby's is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an old, when I was growing up in that neighborhood, it was a hardware store.
Okay.
And then Rick and Barry's, it was called first. It was a.
I remember that name.
Mercyhurst Bar, and then it became the Junction, same owners. And I can't think what Steve's last name was, because his son went to grade school with my.
What made it so great?
The college kids.
Oh,
I mean, okay. We would pack that place. It'd be, you know, 100, 125 people in that little bar. And it was just, and I can remember getting into later bands, another version of The Return, the guitarist and then the bass player for Jeff Wiesen, they would sit outside and watch us play because they were, you know, they ended up being one of the better Southern rock bands.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Southern, what were they called? Southern, not Southern Comfort. Slow Profile.
Slow Profile, yeah.
Right, yeah.
In fact, they picked on us. They called us Thin Fanny instead of Nothing Fancy, and we called them Slow Crow Pile. A little friendly rivalry.
Was there, how was it back then in the 80s playing in those bands? Was there camaraderie amongst musicians?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, did you meet up at Tacky's or, you know, no, Dominic's afterwards?
No,
I
we
mean,
just went, no, we just went to bars and saw other bands.
Each other's.
And, yeah. And we were just, everybody knew everybody.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah, we were in the union for a very short time in the 70s and found out that it wasn't worth the money to be in a union for some reason. They just took your money and never helped us get gigs or do anything.
Right. Yeah, I think that was the demise of the union back
then. Yeah, the young kids just didn't like it. I mean, you probably talked to Antoine, and I'm sure he said the same thing.
Right. Yeah, Mario Bagnoni would you know, show up, you know, with his hand out. Yeah.
Yes.
I gotcha. Yeah. And so we were talking about different places and everything. So the Junction, you like the Junction.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you not like playing? Like, did the Junction have a stage, or were you on the floor?
No, it has,
had a little stage.
It had a drum riser. I remember that.
Okay.
Drum riser.
Because I know some guys feel like, I don't want
to play. No, I'd never played a place I didn't like. Hetch Hollow was a fun place to play.
Sure.
We were in a little nook, but it was fun. Even Joe Rock had played there.
Yeah, I mean, Norb's was a tiny little corner.
I only played at Norb's. We had a pickup band. It was Bill, Tony, and I. We would do a Sunday thing, a matinee, afternoon matinee, and we'd get a sandwich and a beer. And
the country?
Yeah, and we'd do whatever we wanted to play.
Yeah,
That was the only time I think I ever played there. I may have played there in Heartless.
Okay.
I don't recall. My memory is, with so many things going on in life, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you brought a little cheat sheet. I tried to create a cheat sheet for you, but you've been in a lot of bands.
Yep. Yeah, there's three versions of The Return.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it continued for a few years in the 80s.
Right. In that, when I got laid off, we lost Mark, and then Carl and I put it back together again. I think it was around, I don't know if it was, it was after the Lone Rider band. We put it back together again with Paul Kuharsky from Slow Profile. And we got together two different times and kept that band going for, well, off and on for 6 years.
Okay.
The Lone Rider, getting to the country. Country is next.
Yeah.
Lone Rider, I think, started in 91.
Okay. And what was the impetus for that? I mean, what did Carl say to you that said, I'm going to join a country band? Did he say?
I don't remember if it was how it got together. If he needed a drummer, I don't remember exactly how I got into the band. But Jeff Wiesen was the bass player.
Okay.
And the four of us had a band for a while. And then we added Robin Burek, because the bar owner, Judy, the bar owner at that tavern in on 99.
Not the Hedge Hollow.
Valley Inn.
Valley Inn, yeah.
Said, well, why don't you guys are getting kind of bland. Why don't you add a female singer? Well, we just, it didn't last long. Jeff and I quit, and we formed
Played
fancy
with Robin for a while.
Yes, about 6 months to a year.
She's a powerful singer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, right. All right, and she had gone on to, or she had already been playing in some bands.
Oh, yeah, many bands.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Character and Kidder.
Yep, right. Okay, all right. How long was it? How long were you out of a band ever? You know, you weren't playing with someone. Was it that short little stint from high school? Or, because it seems like you were always in a band in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Because I've talked to some guys who
70
say,
to 75, I wasn't in anything.
70 to 75, then after that, it seems like haven't stopped.
It was almost nonstop.
Yeah, like guys like Jim Buhman had to stop, you know, because of his accident. You know, some people have said, you know, I stopped when I had kids for a few years, you know, but you kept on trucking.
Yep. Yeah, the country was, you know, Nothing Fancy, Heartless. Those were the Dave and Bill Krasinski and John, I can't think of John's last name. And then we had a falling out with John, and we got Jeff Wiesen again.
Was it country?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
That
so
was
you
from 96 to like 2000.
All right.
And, you know, with the four of us being lead singers, it was a very good band.
Even
John was a decent singer, but John was a bit of a drinkers, and we wanted somebody more stable, so we asked. Wieson was available, and
okay.
He's a very good bass player and singer.
Is he still playing?
He's in Florida playing. In fact, he's okay. Fronting a future Nashville star, he's hoping.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I can't remember her name, but we just conversed before I got here.
Yeah.
He gave me a call at 5 to help me with these time, because I don't remember the years.
Sure, what years. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all right. I mean,
and then next of kin, I was their first drummer.
Yeah, when you said that earlier, I was like, wow, they were around for a long time, and
yes.
I didn't know you were in that band.
Yeah, I played one gig. Andy Gerber was on keys, Jeff Wieson, Bill Krasinski, myself, I played drums, Mike, I'm trying to think who else was in the band. But Mike was selling cars at J.D. Byrider, and they wanted to have a grand opening, so
yeah.
We put the band together.
Oh,
and
okay.
We all, because we're all country people. And
yeah.
We played together in many country bands. I fit right in, and we played that one gig.
And did I ask you this? I mean, do you mind playing country? I mean, do you like
no,
playing
no, country?
No,
country was fun back then, and it was very profitable.
What was it? I mean, aside from being profitable, what are we talking about when we say country in the 80s? What was it?
It was more modern. It was getting more...
It was.
Yeah, well, Heartless, we always said it was ZZ Top does country.
Okay.
Because it was Dave and Bill Krasinski. They were, you know... rock and roll guitarist.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
what I mean.
And Jeff Wieson was a rock and roll bass player.
Right, right.
So when we played a country song, it kicked you.
Yeah.
And we would, it wasn't a doom, doom, doom,
yeah.
doom, doom, doom. It was...
So who were some of the bands that you were playing? Do you remember?
Oh, everybody that was famous back then. All the solo artists that were famous. Vince Gill.
Maybe even Toby Keith.
Around? Toby
yeah.
Keith.
But the... The real poppy country like Rascal Flatts and all that hadn't come out yet.
No.
Right?
No.
And I'm kind of categorizing them as that, but I feel like then you were still doing solo guys. Dwight Yoakam, that type of country.
Yeah, the one guitarist with the big hair. I can't remember any of these guys.
That's right. Yeah.
The country is kind of a blur because it was good music. It was very well written, very good harmonies, very
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Restless Heart was one of my favorite bands, but we never did anything by Restless Heart. They were an amazing harmony band.
I'm not going to hear any country in Twisted Lid.
One.
Yeah? What is it?
Well, we did do Life Was a Highway, but we got rid of that. Cumberland Road.
Life Is a Highway is Tom
yeah.
Cochran. That's not
right.
That's not Rascal Flatts.
Yeah, we did Cumberland Road.
And Cumberland Road is who?
I can't remember his name.
Bob
sings it. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we did that in... I don't know if it was Heartless. I think we did it in Heartless. I can't. We must have done it in Heartless because I remember that I didn't have to practice it. I remember I knew the song.
Well, you sent me a bunch of pictures, obviously, and some of them were for a band called Time Machine.
That was another good band. There was three versions of that band.
Yeah, and your current guitar player, Freddie
was
in that
one
band,
of them. Yes,
right. Yeah, yep. I mean, was that a precursor? Was that the first time you played with Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
But before that, the original band was Tim Roach.
Yeah.
Mike
yeah.
and Bowden.
Yeah.
Jim Wright, me on drums, and what's his name? Mark Emhoff.
Oh, he was. Okay.
Yeah, there's a picture. I sent you a picture
right,
of that.
Right.
That was the original Time Machine.
Okay. All right.
Then after that, we got the Time Machine that I took the name. And I had a gig at Southery Turner's, and my cousin Mark and I and a guy from Nothing Fancy, Steve Oleski.
Okay.
We put a band together. We needed a name. I says, well, I'm going to steal my name. We played, I think, two gigs together.
Just kept.
Yeah. And we played Southery Turner's as Time Machine. And then Jim Wright and I got back together again, and we got Bob Raphael on bass, Bob Armour. And I were in a GE band where we played, it was a pickup, and that's where Twisted Lid came from. The bass player was another GE pickup guy.
Oh, okay. All right.
And John Hegel. And we put together the Time Machine with Bob Raphael and Fred and Jim Wright, myself and Bob Armour.
You've got some of the key elements of 25 to 64 in that band.
Yes, that was another thing. There's another Bodie concept.
Yeah.
Mike and Bowden came up
yeah.
with this idea. He got a hold of the horn players from Ruby Port.
Yeah.
And Chico, and I can't remember the other two guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
When was
I need to have horn players on this podcast.
When was the drummer's neighbor? I can't think of his
That's
name
right.
now.
Yeah,
because he's a sax player.
Because you played Jim was in that band.
I want to apologize to all these people because you know I don't.
Yeah,
I can't remember on the spot all these names. But
Jim Wright, was that the first time you played with
he
Jim?
He was after me. He took my place.
Oh.
I quit after the second gig.
Jim took my place.
And,
oh, really?
And, okay. Tom Lander, I think, came in with him after.
But that so was you
after
were just singing?
Yes, in the first two versions.
Okay, all right. Who was the drummer?
Larry Kephart. And he ended up being the drummer for Joe Rockhead.
Yeah.
Three versions of Joe Rockhead.
Yeah, right, right. That's interesting how it all just... intertwines.
Well, you know, you work with some great musicians. And Bill Miller is going to play with Twisted Lid this summer.
Oh, really?
He's filling in for our bass player.
Oh, wow.
Don at Oliver's. So that'll be a nice experience, be on the stage with him again.
I think he can handle it, I'm sure. Yeah.
And then one time at the casino, Denny and I played. He needed a drummer because his drummer had...
Denny Neiman's?
Yeah, his drummer had passed away, and I played one gig with his band.
Okay.
At the casino. No, it was... Oh, here we go.
Before that?
Yeah.
Last
band standing?
Yeah, something like that. Remember we talked about it when we were at the Oasis the other night.
Last band standing, I think it was. Yeah, so that was the first time in whatever, 50 years that he and I shared a stage together. That was a nice moment.
Well, I mean, anybody listening to this is probably trying to map out this whole thing. good luck if you are. That's a lot, over the years. And
The second version of Joe Rockhead was a little more top 40-ish because Larry wasn't available. Larry was up here finishing his degree at Barron in engineering. And we got Scott McGraw.
Oh, from he played with Patty and Bad Daddies.
Yeah, right.
Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell.
Right, and so... Jack was in the band at that point. Yeah,
yes.
right.
And Bodie was still in the band, and Bodie and I were able to get a little more top 40 into the band.
Ah, okay.
We did...
Wasn't just all Kansas,
we did some Shot in the Dark and some Petty and a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
So we could at least market some danceable as well as concert music.
Yeah, because when I saw him, it was Tim and your two... fake cousins.
Right. no, not fake cousins.
Real cousins. It was prog rock, baby. It was great, all that stuff, Kansas Rush, and they pulled it off great.
Zeppelin.
Zeppelin, right. I mean, Tim would do, what was the big keyboard song he would do from Deep Purple? Didn't he do
Highway
Hush?
Star?
Or Highway Star. Yes.
Hush was my idea. Yeah. I brought Hush.
Yeah.
He also didn't want to do a couple other songs, but I eventually talked him into it.
And he would do that intro to Boston.
Yep.
What was it, More Than a Feeling? Or what's that whole big one?
Long Time.
Yes.
Foreplay, Long Time.
Yeah. That was great, Yeah.
And we did a lot of good songs. Sunrise by Uriah Heep.
Yeah. You don't hear people do Uriah Heep.
No, we did a lot. We did a lot of Uriah Heep.
So today you've been in
Easy Living.
You've been in Twisted Lid for 10 years or how long?
Bob and I, 11.
Okay. All right.
This version, we're on our 10th.
Okay.
With the four of us, Mark Smith and Fred and Bob and I.
You and Bob, the only originals?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was 1 year because John quit GE and went to Florida to do bigger and better things.
All right. Well, if you haven't seen Twisted Lid, go see them. They're one of my favorites. Like everything that he's been saying, I can back it up. Great harmonies, great vocals. Everybody in the band sings. Yeah. It's fun. It's high energy. It seems like you built it around that, right from the get-go. There's no slowdown.
No, this version was different than the first.
Yeah?
This version, Bob and I said, it's going to be 100% danceable or we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And that was the big critique. That made us a little more popular.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want to hear someone sing John Mellencamp, listen to Bob Baffick. Mm. He can do it. That's for sure. I played at his wedding, and he came up and played with us and did some John Mellencamp. So, great band. What do we miss?
I don't think we missed anything.
So bars, you like the Junction. That's interesting. You played Sherlock's a couple times.
Yes, French Quarters. But Sherlock's, we didn't play in the other bands, though.
Oh, no?
No. Okay. The Night Shift played... Sherlock's.
Goofies? Beer Mug? Any of that?
No.
No? Never?
P.I.
PI, yeah.
I'm trying to nail it down. I think it was the Breeze was, when did the PI open? Do you remember? Was it 81?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, when it was called the PI, because you played there when it was the Mark, which was prior to that. You played there.
No, it was the PI.
In 78, you played there as the Mark. So, yeah.
No, that would have been Frank. I did not play there.
Oh, no?
No. In 81, I thought I played there. It was Memorial Day weekend. They said it was the grand opening. I don't know if it was 81 or 83.
I can't
nail that down because I remember being on a weird stage and then Bruce Whitford was our pyrotechnic guy in the second in the night shift, and we used to do flash pots like they did for the snowmen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you? And I always forget about these guys, the light and sound people. You know, the roadies. I mean, any ones that you want to mention that were just great for you guys, or did you do a lot of your own?
We did a lot of our own.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, Jeff Ford was a sound man, too. Yeah. Great, great sound man.
Went on to play with...
Tim Dietz was a good sound man, and he did lights for Pluto, and then Joel Kuligowski was a sound man. Well, Ricky Carr, we did a couple of his jamborees.
Oh, yeah, at Rainbow Gardens.
At Rainbow Gardens as Pluto sound, and that was a combination of all our equipment together. And
oh, really?
We'd close the iClub. And have to go Sunday morning after 2 hours of sleep and load all that equipment into the
Rainbow Gardens
on a couple hours of sleep and stay there all day for all those country acts and
help
change them
over. Where was the iClub? I always hear about
that. iClub is torn down. It was next to Schilling's Carpet.
On where?
26th.
26th?
Yes.
Okay.
There's the cemetery, then Schilling's. It's the open lot there. They tore it down.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah, that was the one we played till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and all we got was the cover charge, but you could make... You know, a lot of money on cover charge.
Yeah, were there any bands back then that you were surprised at how much money you were making? You know, like I've talked to plenty of guys who were doing the 5 day a week and they were making a ton of money, you know. Yeah. But was it always?
No, a lot of times we were, you know, doing it for like 50, 60 bucks a
night. Yeah, right.
I mean, it didn't even cover.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Your instruments that you bought, but we were doing it for fun. We were not getting rich quick.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you worked 40 years at GE. You know, that's what your main deal
and that was always the guy that would buy the PA equipment because I was working.
Yeah.
My wife let me.
and I've been to your basement before, obviously. It's like a sound man's basement. There's a ton of equipment down there. Did you run sound separately aside from like the what you just described?
Yes.
On your own, right?
Yeah. It was. We had business cards. I was called Our Sound.
Let
Our Sound be your sound.
All right.
I didn't do that many gigs, though, but I did One World Tribe quite a bit. And, a couple of the Elks jamborees that they have at Family Affair. I did that for maybe 8 to 10 years, hiring all the bands.
Okay.
And we all volunteered, except I got paid a little bit because I was there all day and all week doing lights and sound.
Yeah, it's a slog, isn't it? You know? Yeah.
But I always wanted to run sound because when Carl and I did our recordings in... I think it was like 86 to 88. We had a little studio in his basement, and I was always the final engineer with EQ and adjusting all the pots and everything for all the sliders, for all the vocals and things that we did. I liked producing, so I decided maybe I should become a sound man.
Yeah.
And I've got a collection with Tower about this high with signed CDs of all the acts I've ever done.
Oh, cool.
That had original music in town. Goofies, I ran sound there a bunch of times.
Oh, okay.
For some out-of-town bands.
All right. Yeah. So a man of multiple talents.
Yeah. Nah, no more sound for me.
No. Too much stuff to carry.
Too old.
Yeah, right. Well, I appreciate...
69 years old is pretty old.
I appreciate you coming on and telling me all this stuff. Like I said, we've known each other a little bit, and I'm glad to get the backstory on all of this. And
I told you I was a busy man.
You are. Absolutely. That's more than I think anybody's ever had. So if you're listening out there, go see Rick today in Twisted Lid. They're playing all around town. And thank you again for coming
in. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Erie Music History Podcast. I want to say thanks to the JPT Foundation. They have been a financial supporter of the podcast since the beginning, and they also give us a free space to have our monthly music night on the first Tuesday of the month. It always features our great house band, the Fabulous Leftovers, as well as a lot of other local bands and musicians. But it's a lot of fun. First Tuesday of the month, totally free. Any donations go to the Second Harvest Food Bank. It is BYOB. There's a great pizza shop next door, Pasalinquas. Check that out, the first Tuesday of the month. Also, make sure that you check out Jack Stevenson's Two Man Happy Hour podcast. Basically tells you where people are playing today, where and when, and you can check that out at the2manhappyhour.com. All right, that's all I got for you. Thanks again for listening.